Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, back in 1893, two brothers by the name of Thomas and Norman Hall, they started the Hall Brothers, which was a company that at that time made jam. And they got so good at stirring hot fruit that they added a line. By 1900, they added a line of boiled sweets, which were hard candies. And they made these hard candies by boiling them, and then they would let the fruit dry and harden. And so these hard candies, they became so popular and so profitable for them that they ended up discontinuing their line of jam. Well, then, in the year 1926, Thomas Hall retired, and he left his share of the company to his brother, and Norman Hall had a new idea. He decided that he wanted to create a line of a product that would be like hard candies, but this time it would be medicated so that it could ease sore throats and to soothe a cough. So he got to work, and by the 1960s, this medicated hard candy was sold worldwide. In fact, it's still being sold today. I brought some with me. You probably know it. It's Hall's Cough Drops. So, we're in the middle of this series right now titled Thanksgiving, and as we're going through this series, we're looking at several different psalms, and we're talking about living a lifestyle of gratitude. Now, in many ways, our gratitude, our thankfulness can act like a cough drop because I believe that our thankfulness can be a balm for both our hearts and our minds. You see, when we express thankfulness in the midst of our struggles, when we express gratitude to the Lord in the midst of our difficulties, it can soothe our anxieties and discomforts, making it a whole lot easier to get through those things. But not only does thankfulness soothe our discomforts in the midst of our struggles, but I believe that practicing a life of thanksgiving can also foster healing for our hearts. Because when we practice this lifestyle of gratitude, even in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our difficulties, when we practice thanksgiving, what we do is we take our eyes off of our difficulties. We take our eyes off of our struggles, and we end up placing our eyes on to the Lord. And when we place our eyes on the Lord, when our focus is on Him, what we find is there is peace. So let me just ask you this morning, where is your focus today? Are your eyes still fixed on your circumstances? Are your eyes fixed on your difficulties? Are your eyes fixed on your struggles, or are your eyes fixed on the Lord? Where is your focus today? And if today you would say that your eyes are still fixed on all of the struggles that you might be going through, if your eyes are fixed on all of those things that are bringing those anxieties to you, then let me encourage you, even in the midst of your difficulties, even in the midst of your struggles, begin practicing thankfulness. Begin expressing gratitude to the Lord. Maybe not for the circumstance that you're in, maybe not for the struggle that you're going through, but begin practicing that gratitude simply for who the Lord is. And allow for the focus of your heart to shift off of your circumstances and onto the Lord, that you might find this soothing peace from Him today. Now, as we continue in our series and as we look at another psalm this morning, we have the opportunity to turn our eyes and our hearts once again off of our circumstances and onto the Lord, that once again our hearts and our lives might be filled with thanks. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 89. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 this morning. Psalm chapter 89, verses 1 through 8. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. As you look at this psalm, just below the header of this psalm, and right before we get to verse 1, we see this introduction. And many of your translations will say something to the effect of a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. So who was Ethan the Ezrahite? Well, we actually see Ethan mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, and we're given the understanding that Ethan the Ezrahite was someone that had the reputation for wisdom. Now, what we actually read in 1 Kings 4:31 is that King Solomon had a greater wisdom than even Ethan. But with this understanding that King Solomon had a greater wisdom than Ethan, comes the understanding that Ethan was known for his wisdom in his day. And so as we think about Ethan being known for his wisdom, I can't help but wonder, what are we known for today? And I would invite you to ponder that question with me, because I think that it's a good question for us to ask ourselves, what am I known for? But it's also a good question for us to ask as a church, what is our church known for today? What is our church known for in our community? What is our church known for in our state? What are we known for today? Because like it or not, every single day we are building a reputation for ourselves. Whether it's a good reputation, whether it's a bad reputation, we are building a reputation. In fact, Palmer and I, we've talked several times about the reality that job interviews extend far beyond that formal setting where you sit down to interview with the individual. Rather, I would say that job interviews begin simply in your day-to-day life as people observe how you talk, how you act, how you live, as they take note of that. I would say, young people, this is an important truth for you to grab hold of today, that how you are living right now, that is being seen by others. People are taking note of that. You know, Palmer's interview with this church began long before he sat down with the search committee to call him as our youth pastor. Rather, his interview with our church began when he and I would simply have breakfast together before I was even pastor of this church. And thankfully, Palmer developed a good reputation for himself, one that I thought would be worthy to bring down here to our search committee to talk to. But listen, every single day we are building a reputation. So what is our reputation? What are we known for today? And my prayer for both us as a church and for us as individuals is that we would be known as a faithful people in all things, at all times, until it's all over. And hopefully, after hearing that now for nearly 2 years, hopefully that's becoming more than just a saying, but that's becoming who we are. Ethan was known for his wisdom. And so we're told that this psalm is a maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. So what is a maskil? So I said many of your translations probably use that word maskil. Some of your translations may use the word insight or contemplation. That's what a maskil is. It is a contemplation, an insight. So have you ever thought, man, I would really like to see inside the mind of that person? I would just like to be able to see what they're thinking. There are a couple of people that come to my mind as I think about people that I would like to see inside their minds. The first person would be the late Steve Jobs. Whether you like Apple products or you hate Apple products, the reality is that there was just this level of creative genius that he had that has brought us much of the technology that we have today. So I think it would be fascinating to just have been able to get a glimpse inside of his mind. The next person that comes to my mind would be Elon Musk, another individual with just this level of great creative intelligence that is revolutionizing technology today. And so, man, I would like to see inside his mind as well. So as we look at this psalm today, as we look at this maskil or this contemplation from Ethan the Ezrahite, we have this opportunity to see inside of his mind. We have this opportunity to see what he is thinking about. And because he wrote this psalm down, not only do we have the opportunity to see what he's thinking about, but we also have this invitation to think about these things as well. And not just to think about them, but we have this invitation to think on them, to contemplate these things with Ethan as well. And so what we're going to do is we're going to join with Ethan the Ezrahite in thinking on these things this morning as we read our passage, Psalm 89, verses 1 through 8. It says, I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations with my mouth, for I will declare faithful love is built up forever. You establish your faithfulness in the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build up your throne for all generations. Lord, the heavens praise your wonders, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can compare with the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? God is greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, more awe-inspiring than all who surround him. Lord God of armies, who is strong like you, Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. So as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting the first three words that we see there in verse 1. It says, I will sing. It would seem that as though Ethan's heart is filled with joy, as his heart is filled with thanksgiving, his mouth turns to praise and he can't help but singing. And maybe you can relate to Ethan here. Sometimes I think that when we become overwhelmed, sometimes something wells up inside of us and we just have to belt out that song. When we go through a struggle and we remember God's faithfulness, we might feel compelled to sing, It Is Well With My Soul. When we're overwhelmed with how great our Lord is and how nothing in this world compares with how great he is, we might feel compelled to sing, I'd Rather Have Jesus. You know, one time I posted the lyrics to that song, I'd Rather Have Jesus, on Facebook, and one of my friends said, even more than a Twinkie? Now, a Twinkie may not be that tempting to you, but a Twinkie's pretty tempting to me. But yes, I'd rather have Jesus than even a Twinkie. So we might feel compelled to sing, I'd Rather Have Jesus, or maybe when you recognize that God is so great that he is worthy of our praise. No matter where we are, we can praise him anywhere. We might feel compelled to sing that more modern song, I'll Praise You Anywhere. You see, singing is an expression of our praise. Singing is an expression of our thanksgiving, and it has been throughout the ages. Understand, we don't sing together on Sunday morning simply because it's the cool thing to do or simply because it's tradition. It is tradition. But we sing together on Sunday mornings. We sing because the Lord is good and he's worthy of our praise. And long before Jesus came into this world to die for our sins, before Christ established the church, men and women were already singing praises to the Lord as they simply recognized and as they pondered the greatness of our God. We sing because our Lord is good and he's worthy of our praise. And so next time that you are overwhelmed with the greatness of our God, and next time you feel that urge to sing, belt that song out. Because when you sing, you are allowing for your song to be an overflow of your heart. You are allowing for your song to be a practice of thanks living. Ethan's heart was filled with praise. As a result, he practiced thanksgiving. He sang a song. And as we continue to walk through this passage and as we look at this psalm this morning, we're going to see three reasons why we can and should practice thanksgiving every single day. So first, we can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who is faithful. Let's read all of verse 1 now. It says, I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations with my mouth. We can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who is faithful. So if you remember at the start of this year, I cast that vision for us that we would hold on to the things worth holding on to. And I pulled this vision from Hebrews 10:23, which says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And so since the start of this year, and really since the end of last year, we've had this reminder that we serve a God who is faithful. And so as we turn to this psalm, Psalm 89, we're reminded once again of God's faithfulness. And being reminded that God is faithful, he always has been and he always will be faithful. And being reminded that we are to hold on to the things worth holding on to, I'm reminded that thankfulness for the Lord is worth holding on to. Living a lifestyle of gratitude is something that we should hold on to and something that we should practice in our lives each and every day. Thankfulness for the Lord is worth holding on to. Ethan recognized God's faithfulness, and as a result, he had this expression of gratitude in this psalm. But if God is faithful, then how is God faithful? And Ethan recognizes one way that God is faithful in verses 1 and 2. God is faithful in love. Now, on this side of the cross, we have seen just how faithful in love God is, because he sent Jesus Christ into this world to go to the cross and to bear the weight of your sins and mine upon himself. God revealed just how faithful in love he is by laying his own life down for us. So let me say it again, God is faithful in love. And Ethan reminds us in this psalm that God's faithfulness in love is something worth proclaiming to all generations. Understand, if you want to have a generational impact, if you want to have an impact on more than just yourself, more than just your current situation, if you want to have an impact on generations to come, let me encourage you, proclaim the Lord's faithful love. Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell your neighbors, tell your co-workers about what God has done for you, about how he has set you free, about how he has redeemed you because of his faithful love. Proclaim the Lord's faithful love. Let people know what God has done for you. You know, one of the sweetest things that we get to experience each year at our fall revival in the park are the testimonies from some of our church members. This year we got to hear from Donald White and from Lisa Cravey. And what a blessing it was to hear of God's faithful love at work in their lives. I know many of you would share that same sentiment, that it was a blessing to hear what God was doing in their life. Listen, never underestimate the power of your testimony. Never underestimate the power of proclaiming the Lord's faithful love to those around you. Because when we share of God's faithful love today, we are making an impact on generations to come. So never stop sharing. Continue to proclaim the Lord's faithful love until the Lord returns or until he calls us home. And I believe that the more that we will proclaim the Lord's faithful love, the more that we will live with a lifestyle of gratitude. So we can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who is faithful. Second, we can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who fulfills his promises. So look at verses 3 and 4 again. It says, "The Lord said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build up your throne for all generations." We can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who fulfills his promises. So the summer after second grade, my family, we went to England and France. We spent 3 weeks in England, 3 weeks in France. And while we were in England, we got to go to a big birthday celebration for the Queen's mother. It was this big festival. And this was during the time that Princess Diana was still alive. Now, the Queen and Princess Diana did not come to this celebration because they didn't want to take the spotlight off of the Queen's mother, but we were able to see the Queen's mother and Prince Charles, and that's how we have known him for most of our life, Prince Charles. It's only in recent years that after the Queen passed away, now the throne and the crown were inherited by Prince Charles, and now we know him as King Charles. And that's what happens with a crown. That's what happens with the throne. It is passed down through the generations. And so here in this psalm, Ethan is reminded of the covenant that God made with David, that through David's line, that the throne would be established and it would be passed down, it would be inherited by David's offspring for all generations. Now, this covenant was partially fulfilled in King Solomon, David's son, when King Solomon took the throne. But ultimately, and really, this was for more than just Solomon, this covenant ultimately pointed to Jesus, because it would be Jesus who would come through the line of David. And I want you to know, Jesus didn't simply inherit an earthly throne. Jesus established an eternal throne, a throne that he still sits on today. And this is a good reminder for us, especially because we're a little more than a week away from our presidential election. But I want you to know, Jesus is not just king for 4 years and then he is dethroned by a new political power. No, Jesus has been king, he is king, and he always will be king. Jesus was king when this country was established and when we had our first president, George Washington. He's king under our current president, and he will still be king regardless of what happens in the election next week and even in January. Jesus is king. Jesus didn't simply inherit an earthly throne. Jesus established an eternal throne. And so as we contemplate this covenant that God established with David, just as Ethan contemplated this covenant, we're reminded once again that God fulfills his promises. And that's something that we can continue to be thankful for. So we can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who is faithful, and because we have a God who fulfills his promises. Finally, this morning, we can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who is incomparable. Let's look at verse 6 again. It says, "For who in the skies can compare with the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord?" We can practice thanksgiving because we have a God who is incomparable. So, back when we were living up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was working for Dollar Thrifty Automotive Group, one of my coworkers, he took me to a little burger spot there in Tulsa. It was just this locally owned burger joint. It was a Greasy Spoon burger joint. And let me tell you, that burger that I ordered there that first day that I went there is the best burger that I have ever had in my entire life. To this day, every single burger that I've had since then has been compared to that burger. And let me just tell you, nothing has compared. That burger is incomparable. Who's having a burger for lunch today? All right? So as Ethan considers the greatness of our God, he begins to search for something that can possibly compare, and he begins it in only the natural place, which would be the skies. And so he realizes that even those in heaven, the saints and the angels, cannot compare to the greatness of our God. Now, really, this question of who can compare, really, this is a rhetorical question. Because even before Ethan asked this question, Ethan already knew the answer. He knew that nothing could compare to the greatness of our God. But listen, as Ethan asked this rhetorical question, it is an invitation for us to ask that same question. Who can compare to the greatness of our God? It's an invitation for us, but it's also an invitation for us to come to the same conclusion, that we would also recognize that nothing compares to the greatness of our God. So let me just ask you this morning, what can compare to the greatness of our God? Who or what in your life can compare to the greatness of our God? And I ask that because I think many times we elevate things to places where they should not be. And we give things in our life a place where only God deserves to be. And so I invite you today, evaluate the things in your life and ask this question, what can compare to the greatness of our God? And come to that same conclusion, nothing and no one can compare to the greatness of our God. And as you're reminded of that answer, that nothing can compare, I would invite you once again to allow for your heart and your mouth to be turned to praise and thanksgiving. Because if you've given your life to Christ, then understand you belong to this incomparable God. We can be thankful all the time because we have a God who is faithful, because we have a God who fulfills His promises, and because we have a God who is incomparable. But if you have never experienced this faithful God for yourself by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then I want to invite you to do that this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, it's going to be your opportunity to respond today to whatever it is the Lord is doing in your heart and your life this morning. And if you're here and you would say, that's me, I've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but I recognize my need to do that. Not only do I recognize that, but I am ready to respond to Jesus today and to surrender my life to Him. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like we saw Daniel do this morning. And maybe you're ready to take that next step to make that commitment for baptism today. If that's you, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that next step of baptism already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to come alongside this church, to unite my life with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. Whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do this morning, I would invite you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you and have a great week.